Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network should be used to use. No doubt continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August the 30th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two with the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Welcome to the broadcast. Dr. Scott Bradley in the house. To preserve the nation is lifelong goal and collegiate series to match. All available at freedomsrisingsun.com as he tries to rebuild his website after continued deplatforming going on. What a sad tale to tell. Dr. Bradley, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Always good to start another week with you folks and kind of give everybody a little, I hate to kind of use this in the common vernacular we're involved with today, but a booster shot, if you will, for the cause of liberty. This one does not have any undesirable side effects and probably will help restore the health in many ways, including getting rid of the tyranny that's been implemented upon this nation in the name of this pandemic, so-called.
Yeah, there's only one man-made side effect to this booster shot of the sacred cause of liberty, Doctor, and that is that rogue agents in government might call you a terrorist.
Well, there's no question about that. In fact, if you remember back in 2008 when our friend Chuck Baldwin was running for president, the fusion centers across the nation. And I remember you and I actually did a phone call to the Missouri Fusion Center on your radio. We did a live phone call. I mean, this is going back a few years, I know, and your memory banks may not be that good. But the attempt was to talk to the people about why there were people being identified as terrorists that supported such things as the Second Amendment and were anti-abortion and
Chuck Baldwin and Ron Paul.
No question about that. So, but as you may also recall, that we got stonewalled, and ultimately we made multiple calls back, and they busied out their lines. I mean, they were total cowards. But I fear that malady has not gone away in the years since, and in fact has gotten worse. In fact, if you look, for example, have you noticed that the blue shirt Gestapo Nazis at the airports have gone away in the 20 years since they were implemented in the wake of the 9/11 attacks? No, they haven't. They have solidified and become a kind of an icon of expectation as we go to the airports nowadays. No, this stuff doesn't get any better. I mean, you look at the 2 weeks to flatten the curve kind of thing. Now we're a year and a half to that. You look what's happening in Australia, the formal penal colony that has become a penal colony again. I mean, these things are just steps of tyranny that they keep, you know, it's in great gulps. It's not just a little spoonful here and stuff like that. It's not just a shovelful here. They're on a full court press right now. And so I think Americans need to wake up, because what's happening in Australia ain't far from here, folks.
Amen to that. Speaking of that very direct thing, as they peddle tyranny in America, we got to reject it. But more information is coming out around the world, and they're having a hard time blocking this in the United States. Headline, people who recovered from a bout with COVID-19 may face lower risk from the Delta variant when compared to those who have not been infected with coronavirus, but they have two doses of the vaccine. Believe it or not, Bloomberg's now reporting. So those who have natural immunity, those people who got the cocoa, got sick, survived it, natural immunity, ladies and gentlemen, they now say more and more studies are coming out documenting that they are in a better shape to fight off future viruses than those who have the vaccines. They say a new study of the power of COVID-19 natural immunity versus the protection provided by vaccines is igniting a debate between scientists on this very topic. But you know what? They say this is a textbook example of how natural immunity is much better than vaccine-created immunity. They're literally talking about this. They're literally talking about this in the mainstream discussions now. They can't avoid the discussion, Dr. Bradley.
You know, it's one of those things. I mean, you know, what do you say? Duh. I mean, this kind of thing shouldn't even be even a question in anyone's mind. The historical evidence would show this clear back into the 1918 Spanish flu thing. And we recognize, well, we should recognize, the system that God built is far superior to the false gods that we're currently worshiping, the researchers and scientists and physicians and the pharma companies and the politicians and the bureaucrats and the, I don't know, what do you call them? They're celebrity endorsers. I mean, come on, people. This thing is absolutely absurd. Now, you probably saw the research that came out of Israel on this, and this Israel is also a draconian penal colony and these kinds of things. They're not a free people. It's a fascist state, a socialist fascist state that has implemented full-blown draconian powers to get the people vaccinated. They're probably well over 80% of their population is vaccinated. The stuff that's going on there with the dread disease is rampant. And these Israeli researchers found that those that had the problem and now have natural immunity are far better off than those that have been taking the jab. And by the way, the natural immunity does not have any of the side effects that you can expect. We see so many people of all ages, young athletes. We see people, retired athletes, people that have been in a high level of fitness their whole life that are dying for quote-unquote unknown causes. Just suddenly, 2 weeks after the jab, croak, and they say, oh, no, it's not related. It's just happenstance. No. Nothing to see here, folks. Move on. I mean, it's like a mind game that they're doing with us, and this natural immunity thing, I hope it grows some legs and gets widely spread because they've been spreading enough false doctrine to just try to dispel, oh, no, we're not so sure that you're going to be well off if you got the disease and now you got to get the jab too. It's absurd what what extent and lengths they're going to.
Now listen carefully to this study because it goes even further, Dr. Bradley, which I find quite fascinating. They say the increased protection found in the study extended beyond reinfection, as natural immunity was also found to lead to fewer symptomatic cases and hospitalizations as well. So, I mean, this is just clear. This study is huge. Now, they want to make sure you know this is not peer-reviewed to date yet. But the next headline, believe it or not, is from WorldNet Daily. Art Moore doing a great job, but a similar headline on the same topic says this: Dr. Anthony Fauci and the government health establishment continue to insist that vaccines provide superior immunity to natural infection, contradicting the worldwide consensus about this pandemic. So Fauci and these people are just absolutely not following the science, doubling down on Rand Paul's point. They're literally off their rockers disputing everything that is known about illness in the world today. It's amazing as the government literally becomes an enemy of the people on this, Dr. Bradley.
Well, right from the very beginning, they have become the propaganda arm. They're the Nazi propaganda arm right from the very beginning. Fauci and his crew, and I mean, my position on this is, and it shouldn't surprise anybody, I'm a naysayer, so, but I like to seek truth, and wherever I can go to find it, I will. But I don't believe the CDC, the National Institute of Health, the World Health Organization, any of these so-called expert organizations have a shred of credibility left. The Food and Drug Administration, come on, people, the incestuous wife-swapping relationship they have with the pharma industry, This is absolutely immoral, and we are having foisted upon us a great lie. You tell a big enough lie long enough, according to the Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi war propaganda minister, it becomes truth. And the issue in the matter is that there are those, I can't tell you how many times I run into people that they say, I don't want to hear it. I won't read anything. I won't listen to anything. I will not examine this. I don't want to be confused. Well, they have been drinking the Flavor-Aid, like at the Jonestown massacre thing. It wasn't Kool-Aid, by the way, for those that might remember that. It was Flavor-Aid. The poison was flavored for them to drink, and they drank it, and hundreds of people died. Men, women, and children, because of some megalomaniac, and that's exactly what's happening with Fauci and his crew, a megalomaniac, and you'd think a scrawny little bugger like him has risen to power like he has, and has the vocal cords of all of the propaganda across the world in his hands, and he's with his other hand strangling out contrary voices. It is think of the imagery of this, and how can someone like him? I think someday, again, like out of Isaiah 14, people are going to look narrowly at him and say, "Huh? You were able to do this to the nations of the world?" It's astounding.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. A whole lot more coming up. Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio talking about these new studies that are out. Study previous COVID-19 infections prevent Delta or prevent future infections much more so than even a double shot of the Pfizer vaccines. Natural immunity is the key. People who recovered from about with the COVID-19 face lower risks from all kinds of diseases, including the coronavirus in the future, than those who have been vaccinated. The increased protection found in the study extended beyond reinfection. Natural immunity has been found to be linked to fewer symptomatic cases and hospitalizations as well. The largest real-world analysis to date found people previously infected with the coronavirus are at lower risk from contracting the Delta variant than those who received two doses of the vaccines, ladies and gentlemen. The data from the United Kingdom, meanwhile, adds fuel to this reality check, indicate that vaccinated people also are spreading the coronavirus. We don't have anything that will stop the transmission, these experts in the UK say. The latest UK data is ugly. Same with Israeli data. 67% of deaths are vaccinated. 48% of cases, believe it or not, are vaccinated. So 67% of deaths and 48% of cases are vaccinated. The vaccinated are spreading the virus too. The world's starting to admit and realize. Now, this is very serious because, ladies and gentlemen, this came out in Israel months ago where the doctors, and this was published in an Israeli newspaper carried by LifeSite News, which was that more elderly people are dying from the vaccines than they are the coronavirus itself. I dared to report that, and that's what got me kicked off Twitter. Did you know that? And I've been off Twitter to this day as a result of me having the guts to report that. Well, the mainstream Twitter in America didn't like it. But ladies and gentlemen, in a column this week in the Blaze magazine, or I guess the Blaze website, Daniel Horowitz summarized 15 different studies showing natural immunity from infection of COVID-19 is superior to vaccines. This isn't one study. This isn't two studies. This isn't five. This isn't 10. We've known natural immunity to be superior in the vaccine world for decades, and it's no different with the coronavirus, and they know it. But Fauci and those rogue agents in government don't care. They want to shove scientific disinformation down your throat as they peddle big pharma to the umpteenth degree. That's what's going on, Dr. Bradley, and the world's starting to call the United States con game on them, and the word's getting out. They're not able to stop the truth because it's so well documented, so scientific in reality, that Fauci can't upend the truth anymore.
You know, it's interesting, and we've talked about this on a number of occasions, and it needs to be reiterated constantly, but from the very get-go on this whole thing, the whole facade of this whole charade, in my opinion, and I'm talking about when it really got launched, Utah declared an emergency as just, I think, 2 days short of 3 weeks of when they had their so-called first COVID-related death, which I seriously doubt was related and had anything to do with it. But they declared an emergency 3 weeks before it happened. This has been not just a narrative, not just a storyline. It has been a script that they have been pushing. And we should, as all of us, should be willing to recognize the intent from the very beginning. The first major media outlet interview I did, the focus of that was compulsory vaccines. And we are way down that path right now. And you look at what's happening, you know, here in this country, I mean, with Blasio in New York and his draconian efforts in, you know, San Francisco, L.A., and so on. The major metro areas that are run by communists are truly implementing this. And you look at whole countries that are being locked down. I mean, Israel, you can't even be a human being anymore without having the jab. You look at in Australia. I mean, they're giving them 1 hour a day to come out of their house. That's what solitary confinement people get. 1 hour a day out of solitary, the rest of the time you're locked down. And you know what kills me is that in 1996 they confiscated their firearms. The people, I think it will come down to 1956 Hungarian revolt kind of thing ultimately. They'll be throwing bricks at tanks. I mean, and bottles of gasoline at tanks. I mean, they have disarmed the people, which is where, of course, we know their efforts are with the Biden crowd, and of course, lots of others could be named, where they're trying to disarm America. And thankfully, we have the God-given Second Amendment rights that are actually should slow it down a little bit. But I wonder if Americans have the backbone to. But you look at New Zealand. New Zealand is very similar. You look at what's gone on in the British Isles. You look at what's gone on the continent. We have draconian efforts of tyranny that have descended upon the world. And we're not far behind what's happening. And like I say, solitary confinement is not much different than what they've done in Australia. And I think it's largely responsible or caused by the fact that the people have lost their ability, or at least perceived their loss of ability. And I think that the time will come when something's going to have to snap. These people that are doing this are truly tyrants. And they say they're doing it for our own good. They're doing it as benevolent. And, you know, they're smiling. Behind the smile are fangs. In the silk glove is an iron fist. And that's what they're doing. And I just hope Americans come to the point to understand that. About half of Americans are vaccinated and the other half aren't. And by the way, it's not a vaccine. And by the way, it's not effective, as everyone should know by this point. You don't get any value from it. It doesn't prevent infection. It doesn't keep you from having really bad stuff. It doesn't keep you from dying from it. There's nothing except for you got to get it because they say. And they're still pushing that, but half of Americans right now are saying no. Everybody's had an opportunity to get it, and those that haven't have made a decision. And now it's going to come down to compulsion, and they're going to do
now,
it
now, the interesting thing is they always try to cling to this. Well, if you get the vaccination, then you might go to the hospital, you might get sick, you might be able to spread it, all these things. It's not likely. It's very rare, very, very, very rare. But everybody you know has been in that situation. It's so rare. But then they say, but your symptoms will be less. And see, I don't understand how they can even document that kind of a thing anyway. How do you determine, you know, how bad it would be for me if I was vaccinated, for instance, compared to how bad it is if I'm not vaccinated? And then the other question becomes, it might be worse for me now, even if I'm not vaccinated, than if I am. Maybe that assertion's true. But how much more immune, how much more robust will my immune system be after the fact, in either case? That's something they're not discussing as well. They're not being genuine with the discussion or the science at all.
There hasn't been any science in this at all. The whole thing's been slapshot. It's by guess and by golly. I mean, this idea, 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Oh, that's a dramatic statement. That sounds pretty funky. Let's try that out. So they put us all in
6 feet.
Company.
You got to stay away from each other for 6 feet.
That's another made-up thing. I mean, there is no science behind that. The masks, forget it. There's
you heard they said they
can
reduce the 6 feet to 3 feet now, though, right?
Well, you know what? Make it 2 feet, make it 200 feet. The fact of the matter is, I mean, the science is exposing the lie. And when you say, oh, yeah, go with a mask, the masks, the smallest that it will filter is like 3 nanometers. This is said to be .3 nanometers. I mean, that's a pretty small, skinny little guy getting through the masks. And there's plenty of research now that's saying, no, masks don't do any good. Oh, but we got to do it. It's virtue signaling. Everybody's got to wear them at church. Everybody's got to wear them whenever they go into a store. Everybody's got to stand 6 feet away. But there is no science. There is nothing that says, I mean, it's like, think about this. If it's airborne and you're breathing, and you breathe as you walk down the aisles in the store, and it's not filtering so small. I mean, you're going to suffocate if it would filter the smallness. I mean, without a respirator type apparatus on it, you're going to suffocate. But if you walk down the aisles in the store and you're breathing, these little floaty particles, whatever they want to call them, are in the air as you go down the aisles. Oh goodness, fear, doubt. Terror, despondency, that's what they want us to do. It is absurd, absolutely absurd.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hang tight. I'll prove the point even further after the break with Dr. Scott Bradley. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. You
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
As Hurricane Ida made landfall Sunday in southern Louisiana as a Category 4 storm, the impact of 150-mile-an-hour winds and storm surge were lessened where major levee renovations were built over the years since Hurricane Katrina. Louisiana Governor Edwards on Fox News Sunday night.
You have to remember that in Hurricane Katrina 16 years ago, it was really the failure of the levee that caused the worst part of that disaster by far. What I can report tonight is the hurricane risk reduction system, the protection system that has been really very much strengthened in the 16 years since Katrina. By the way, about $14 billion worth of investment there. It's holding up extremely well, as are levee systems, even in Lafourche and Terrebonne Parish. But when you have a storm that is this strong, this storm is actually stronger than Hurricane Katrina.
USA Radio News.
You take steps to stay healthy when at the pharmacy picking up vitamins or filling a prescription.
May I help you?
Take another healthy step right now and ask the pharmacist how Prevnar 13 can help protect you from pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease. If you're 65 or older, a trip to the pharmacy is a lot more pleasant than a trip to the hospital because of pneumococcal pneumonia. Help protect yourself with the Prevnar 13 pneumococcal 13 valent conjugate vaccine, diphtheria CRM197 protein. Prevnar 13 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 13 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 13 does not protect against all strains of the disease. Stop by the pharmacy today and ask about Prevnar 13. Learn more at Prevnar13.com. Don't get Prevnar 13 if you have had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with a weakened immune system may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-866-694-9300 or visit Prevnar13.com.
When will COVID-19 vaccines be available for kids? Dan Araki reports.
As kids across the nation return to the classroom, many parents are looking for approval from the FDA that would allow children under 12 to receive the COVID vaccine. That's something that could come by the end of the year, according to former FDA Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb. The Pfizer board member explained the process that the company will go through to apply for changes to its emergency use authorization to CBS News.
Well, Dr. Fauci was on TV this morning talking about the potential for an authorization this fall. Pfizer is going to be in a position, the company I'm on the board of, as you mentioned, be in a position to file data with the FDA at some point in September and then file the application potentially as early as October. So that'll put us on a time frame where the vaccine could be available at some point late fall, more likely early winter, depending on how long FDA takes to review the application. Historically, they've taken 4 to 6 weeks to review these authorizations.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
USA Radio News.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Every single thing we seem to be doing is wrong. Now the New York Times even has an article out that says this. Why anti-COVID plastic barriers in classrooms and restaurants may make things worse. Think about that for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Everywhere you go now, they have up those plastic things, right? It's supposed to keep everybody safe from one another, right? But ladies and gentlemen, they don't work. And they say, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, that these plastic things are making things worse. Why? Because everybody touches them with their hands. Why? Because everybody breathes right on them while they're trying to talk to one another, hearing each other. You can't hear each other with all these barriers up and different things like what? You got a mask on and you got this plastic thing between you, you can't hear. So you lean really close to this thing. Well, the next person is leaning really close to it and touching it. And everything else, right? Think about it. But a study by a group of researchers with the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health in Cincinnati, not that I support this group in the first place, but nevertheless, they say they've tested different size transparent barriers in an isolation room using a quote cough simulator. They say that under right conditions, taller shields above cough height stop 70% of the particles on the other side. But you got to understand that where do those particles go? Well, they might not reach the person on the other side protecting them slightly, but all those particles just go on that glass or that plexi thing right between you. And so the bottom line is that, hey, now you've got that plexiglass or whatever, that, unless they clean it every single, 5 minutes? The study didn't even consider that workers and customers move around, that other people could be in the room breathing the, quote, redirected particles. So they're not getting rid of the particles. They're just redirecting them. So the other guy that's in line behind you might be more vulnerable now because we've got this barrier that, think about it, these barriers impede normal airflow. There you have it. Dr. Bradley, you want to respond to this one? Now they're even admitting this blatantly after they spend who knows how much money and put up these barriers everywhere. Now they say they're not even helping?
We you know, the buffoonery of this whole thing is absurd, and we've talked about this for a year and a half now. But here's the thing, they're talking redirected. It's like follow the science. Well, the science is telling us everything you've done has been basically done by imbeciles, by guess and by golly and everything like that. But here's the other thing though too. Let's just say that what you do is some of the bad stuff sticks to the part to the these plexiglass things, and if they do come through and they sanitize them, they vape, they put some kind of spray, they wipe them down with some kind of cloth that has some disinfectant on it. Okay, people, stop and think for a minute. All of this stuff, instead of allowing us to deal with this soup of bacteria and viruses and everything that is naturally upon the earth, it's been here for all of mortality. That's what our systems were designed for. But no, instead of letting us deal with it and build the T-cell immunity and all those kind of things that should be talked about, we have been not only trying to suppress everything in that, we have been actually working in opposition to our natural immunity by disinfecting our hands and every surface in the everything that gets touched by human beings is disinfected, and then you go and touch it and you get the disinfectant on you. And so your natural immunity is not just, I mean, it's like it doesn't work, first of all, but second of all, it's suppressing what you would be doing and building within your own system for the whole thing, for every step of the way. And it's so astounding to me that when the science starts coming out, and we know that usually it takes a while for the scientific research to be done, stuff they short circuit, by the way, in the development of this so-called vaccine, where they took all the safety gates away, where they built the thing and shoved it out the door, and they've been shoving it in people's arms incessantly now most of this year. But the fact of the matter is, the real science was never done on that either. The real science, the safety checks, the short and long-term adverse reactions, all those kind of things, they're by guess and by golly. The experiment's going on still, probably will be for another year and a half. But the fact of the matter is, we still probably won't know for 10 years how bad it is. But as we do get some research out that has followed the normal research patterns, like this thing you just talked about, the plastic barriers, the research is not bearing out the solutions, quote-unquote, that they threw out at us a year and a half ago. The masks have not borne out anything. The six-foot thing has not borne out anything. The idea the vaccine is going to prevent and be our savior has not borne out anything.
In fact, one of these has not only not borne out anything in their favor, but it's borne out their betrayal of science and their denial of science in the first place.
And if you isolate yourself, what you've done is you've prevented yourself from your natural growth pattern that you experience every day when you're out and about in life. And so putting someone in solitary confinement actually causes them to be more susceptible to something else they might bump into when they get out. So every single stinking step of the way, the facade is being exposed now, but they have not been willing to let go of it. It's kind of like the Nazis that are in the airport. You're never going to see them go away. It's been 20 years since 9/11. 9/11, 2001. They're not going away. And they've institutionalized and strengthened it. And that's like what they're doing right now with everything. I mean, you look at what's going on all across the world, and they're doubling down. The Faucis of the world are not saying, oh, man, I made a mistake. Golly, I'm sorry. There isn't the slightest mea culpa on this thing at all. It's You must believe us. You will follow our directives. And you get everybody. Trump, here a week or so ago, got booed in Alabama because he said, get the vaccine. The people in Alabama are saying, you're nuts. You're nuts. Quit it. Stop. Don't give us that. We're just sick and tired of worshiping at the altar of COVID. Our Savior is not the physicians, the scientists, the researchers, and the pharma companies, and the politicians, and the celebrity endorsers. I mean, none of this stuff, the talking heads on the media, they're not our Saviors. We have a Savior, Jesus Christ. And what was created by God in human beings is what works. This system is a magnificent system. The system in our bodies, the system that He created on this self-renewing earth, the system in the universe. It all has purpose. And by the way, the American Founding Fathers, you know, you can't have a show without me bringing on the American Founding Fathers. They recognized the wisdom of those that in the Renaissance had started looking through devices they'd never had, microscopes, telescopes, and they found that the universe was based upon a system. There was order, which spoke of a creator, which spoke of purpose. And their efforts were focused on, well, if there's order and there's a purpose and there's a creator and if He loves us, maybe, just maybe, there's a form of government that will allow us to become happy and free and prosperous and be able to become everything that mortals were to become on God's plan instead of the tyrants directing our lives. I mean, these do-gooders that consider themselves gods on earth, these humanists that worship the wisdom of man that's unproven and changeable as the day is long. That's where we are in America today, is we've gone with a godless belief system. Now, don't get me wrong. There's plenty in America. There's lots in America that still have faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's still plenty in America that are faithful to their families. Still plenty that want to do what is good and noble, that want to obey the commandments. But those that sit at the head of the government are the ones that are fostering this, and those that sit at the head of the government have the organs of communication. You've been deplatformed from Twitter. I've been deplatformed. All my 1,500 videos have been erased, gone, poof, and we're trying to rebuild and reconstruct and get something going. It's challenging, and yes, they have much power, but the spirit of humanity has a divine spark in it. And I hope and pray that sooner or later we in America wake up to that. And we turn our back on the false philosophies of these worshipers of man's wisdom. That, you know, we're told in the scriptures the wisdom of the wise and the understanding of the prudent will fail. And we've made a covenant with death. I mean, go read the 28th chapter of Isaiah. A covenant with death and hell is talked about there, and this overflowing scourge and all this kind of stuff. I believe it's my strongly held conviction that the scriptures were to be understood by us in our day just as much as they were, because they were prophetically written. And the prophetic written form is good counsel for us today.
And the divine spark you mentioned, Dr. Bradley, should turn us to God Almighty, the author of our liberty, the author of our very lives. And if we're going to want to cling to life, we ought to turn to the author of our lives and say, what ought we do to stay alive? Answer, keep the commandments. He'll heal us and protect us. Could we want more?
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Dr. Scott Bradley, ladies and gentlemen, freedomsrisingsun.com with me. I am Sam Bushman. We're talking about God. We're talking about we are his children. We have a divine, godly heritage. We have liberty in America based on our founding fathers' view that we look to God, not government, for direction, for safety, for protection, for guidance, for clarity, for understanding. I could go on, but whether we're talking about the coronavirus and the lies being told at every turn as they jettison science, they're getting caught as more and more scientific evidence comes forward and proves the points we've been making for literally 18 months on this. We've been proven right. They've been proven wrong on topic after topic after topic, and it shall continue because the truth is on our side and the truth shall set us free. But I want to mention a little bit about these disasters we're experiencing, whether you're afraid and running around of the COVID, trusting in the arm of flesh to save you, trusting in, robed thugs and doctors and to protect you, whether it be judges or doctors or whatever else, we got to trust in God, not in these people, not in the arm of flesh. But now you look at this big storm, Ida. Ida hits as one of the strongest storms to ever strike Louisiana. Hundreds of thousands are now without power as powerful storm hit New Orleans. Now, here's what I find fascinating about this. Hurricane Ida made landfall late on Sunday morning at what's called Port Fortune, exactly 16 years since Hurricane Katrina. That's the catastrophic hurricane that killed more than 1,800 people on the Gulf Coast in 2005. Okay. The hurricane hit Louisiana as a category 4 storm with winds of over 150 miles per hour and torrential downpours. Now, they say it's weakened into a tropical storm now, but there's just thousands without power. Just disaster everywhere. Buildings ripped, the roofs ripped off buildings and everything else. And I've got several questions about this, Dr. Bradley, and I don't think we'll have time to get to all of it, but we'll try to get to as much of it as we can. How likely is it, do you think, that really on the 16th anniversary to the day, would another massive storm hit literally the same place? It's almost like a celebration of storms. It's crazy.
Well, sometimes I guess if we don't get the message, we get another opportunity to hear it. I mean, I look back and in my day, the Hurricane Camille back in August of 1969. I mean, that's the second most intense hurricane to strike the continental United States. I mean, that was, again, August. This is hurricane season. But the fact of the matter is, I truly believe that, I think God wants to bless us. I think God wants to preserve us. I think God loves us. I think God sometimes nudges us along and says, I'm still out here.
Remember, huh?
Yeah, but people curse God and die. There's a whole group that do that, But then there's others that say, oh, was I forgetting that? I mean, you look at Israel back in, 600 BC, they had ignored their God. And, you know, you can look at Ezekiel chapter 20, for example, and find out the Sabbath day is a sign of the covenant between God and his people. And Israel was saying, yeah, we're God's people, okay? And they hadn't obeyed the Sabbath day. And so if you read in 2 Chronicles, God had to kind of take them out of the land and for 70 years let the land just sit fallow. It had nobody worked the land, really, to speak of, because the land deserved its Sabbath day. And if you look, I mean, I travel around the country and speak and everything like that. Sometimes I've had to, you know, I get done speaking on a Saturday night, I leave town on a Sunday. Sometimes I look at the towns I'm in, I try and get a spirit of them. Way too many spend far too much ignoring the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. And while there are great exceptions, I mean, and I could give you examples of some of my travels around the country, and some of the things are absolutely awe-inspiring. The Christian attitudes and beliefs and things like that. So I still believe America can be saved, but we need, I mean, apparently, I don't know what it's going to take to be a wake-up call. Does tyranny?
Well, and there's a formula to being saved, though. You don't just be saved. You got to do certain things that God asks us to do. We've got to obey his commandments. We've got to turn to him. We've got to repent. He gives us clear instructions of what is necessary for his blessings to be poured out upon us. And so let's be very clear. We obey God's directives. And when we do, great things happen. When we don't, go south in a second is the point. And ladies and gentlemen, it's important to understand this with relation to these hurricanes and everything. Now, I'm not saying the people of Louisiana are any worse than anybody else, and therefore they got nailed. I'm just saying it's interesting to me. I don't know if man-made manipulations of weather are involved or not, but it's interesting. The literally 16th anniversary, a massive storm comes in and nails them, and they're without power and everything else. And you know what? Our prayers are with the folks of Louisiana. I'm not here to attack them or say they're worse than anybody else. I'm just here to say it's a sad tale to tell when these storms nail us. And when we don't mention God, I mean, I hear coverage of the storms literally 24/7, and I don't hear anything about God at all. Nothing. And I don't understand it. You would think that we would tie this to God and tie this to repentance and tie this to turning to him and praying for those. At least Joe Biden said we need to pray for those people in Louisiana, and good for Joe for saying it. But I think we need to take that seriously, Doctor.
Well, that's kind of the problem. We talk out of both sides of our mouth. I mean, you know, you read in the scriptures about they draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And the thing is that, you know, this superficial wink and a nod at God is inadequate. And if you're doing everything in your power to destroy the gifts that God has given us and be implementing everything that destroys everything virtuous, lovely, of good report, and praiseworthy, I've brought this up before about how in Utah, the Spencer Cox, the governor, he proclaims a month of sexual, the confused people, the Pride Week. We're going to celebrate that for the month of June in Utah. And oh, by the way, pray to God that our drought is lifted. It's like, wait. I'm not quite sure how this all fits together. If you're recognizing the hand of God, like Joe Biden did, was saying, pray for the people. It's a simple, it's moving their lips. They draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. What has Joe Biden done? Literally. I mean, he's pro-abortion, for example. Let's just take that. I mean, his debauched approach to diplomacy and everything. We're letting it slip through our hands. The idea of mandatory, compulsory, forced jabs. I mean, there's a lot of analogies that can be drawn and liken this to sexual assault against people's will. I mean, so what you're doing is you're putting up people that are our leaders, and these leaders, oh yeah, man, I got to give a wink and a nod to God, because boy, there's still a lot of Americans that believe in God. But let's go ahead and let's crush the spirit out of the land with everything that takes away the precious nature of our gifts that were bequeathed to us at such great cost. I mean, it's just astounding to me. And people say, oh, he's a good man. Well, it's like Bill Clinton was seen leaving a church with a Bible in his hands. Oh, he must be a good man. Really? Are you kidding me? the philandering, adulterous kind of relationship, you know, licentious amours every week in his life? Holy cow. And, you know, it's like George Washington talked about public and private virtue. And that needs to be practiced widely in the nation, public and private virtue. And you don't just go through the motions. You just don't, you know, put it up as a facade and then go about stomping out liberty. Liberty is a gift of God. You look how Christ introduced himself in his hometown at the beginning of his ministry, in mortality. You know, he read in the synagogue the first part of Isaiah chapter 61. This is in Luke 4 if you want to read about it. He's liberating captives. The liberty is part of his big assignment. You know, helping the bruised and the sick and everything. He's a whole package. And liberty is part of Christ's message, that it's inextricably interwoven into it, and we cannot turn our back on the goodness of God in that matter and have his support in the other areas. We just can't. So
we need to pray, ladies and gentlemen, for the people in Louisiana who are suffering. There's no doubt about it. We need to make sure that our prayers are real and sincere and genuine by not only our thoughts but our actions. And we, the people individually and as families, can make the biggest difference. You don't need a political solution to this, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, sure, we need to bring America back to obeying the supreme law of the land and everything. But you know what? Day to day, individually speaking and family-oriented speaking, the fundamental unit of society, it's about personal worthiness. It's about cleansing our inner vessel. It's about changing and repenting and turning to God and keeping his commandments and genuinely getting on our knees and saying, God, we pray for peace and stability and safety. And we then get up and do the very best we can to advocate for those realities, doing all within our power and doing our best and then trusting in God for the rest. That is our duty. That is our hope. That is our clarion call today on your radio, Doctor.
Well, you know, we unless and until we learn this message, I suspect it's going to continue to get worse. I mentioned earlier in the broadcast the 1956 Hungarian thing. If you haven't seen the picture of that little 15-year-old girl, the Hungarian freedom fighter that's holding a submachine gun with a drum of a drum magazine on it, it's a 15-year-old girl. These people became desperate. They fought these things. We shouldn't have to get to that point. I mean, where they're fighting, there was there's 1,200 tanks that were thrown against the people. There was probably 35,000 troops that were thrown against these people. They'd had enough. And it came to that point, and it was a slaughter. It was absolutely appalling. But people got to that point, and they said, no, we're going to fight them with our fingernails if we have to. And here in America, we're rolling over like a bunch of sheep. Just shear me, you know, a lamb to the slaughter. You know, you read about those in the scriptures too. And in America, we have the means, we have the right, we have the privilege. We choose what kind of government we have. And that's why I think God will hold us all responsible. Because when we make choices that give away gifts from him, I'm not so sure he's going to be quick in hearing our calls. But it's time for us to turn back. It truly is. And I hope and pray that America doesn't even have to come to the point where Australia and New Zealand is right now.
Amen to that. Well, it's been said that preaching the word of God and directing people to God Almighty has more power to change and more power to make a difference than even the sword, ladies and gentlemen. That's our chosen method for that very reason. We believe in God's guidance. We believe in the solutions that peace and prosperity and stability and morality provide. And we're doing it by bringing us back to the principles of our founding fathers. There is no greater solution than the restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. The restoration of individual morality. The restoration of the family. The traditional God-ordained family being the fundamental unit of society. For Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, check out his weekly webinars and more. And for Sam Bushman, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.